the nurse to say that our next speaker is Dr. Pamela Cipriano, who's Executive Director of the American Public Health Association. I'm sorry, the American Nurses Association, by the way. As you know, nurses are the largest occupational group working in health worldwide, so we're very happy to have Dr. Cipriano. Thanks so much.
Sure, thank you, Karen. As you know, 6 months ago, for most of us, Ebola was not even part of our vocabulary. But 6 weeks ago, we couldn't get it out of our minds. And you've heard a lot about stemming the crisis of Ebola in West Africa. And the American Nurses Association has been relentless at sending a two-pronged message that's really critical to control Ebola in West Africa and help those nations. But at the same time, we've had a major battle of fear to fight in the United States. We certainly commend all of the organizations represented here and many of you who are part of the amazing effort to address the outbreak in West Africa. One of the statements that we have authored was together with the American Medical Association and the American Hospital Association, and brought this before the U.S. House of Representatives Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. And one of the statements that we thought was really critical to make to this committee is our belief that ensuring safe care for patients, healthcare workers, and communities demands the combined effort of interprofessional state and federal organizations, in addition to domestic efforts to prepare for and treat Ebola, an enhanced focus on the part of the U.S. and the international community to contain the outbreak in West Africa is fundamental to stopping the spread of this virus. We recently came out in support of the President's proposal for funding, which is $6.18 billion, knowing that that dollar amount is likely to be reduced. But I think one of the other statements that was made was that, you know, we also need to know where the money's going, is it being spent appropriately, and is it actually reaching the individuals on the ground. So just under $2 billion of this is targeted for USAID, which we believe, you know, is critical to make sure that there are resources put on the ground. From the very beginning of the time where Ebola really began to look like it was going to be a global crisis, ANA did encourage its members and worked with the International Council of Nurses to suggest that individuals who were able should be encouraged to volunteer to go provide care in West Africa. There was some fallout in terms of that recommendation. Again, I think there are people who are ready and willing and able, and there are others that believe that is, again, a very frightening event to go to a foreign nation and to provide care in the face of a disease that could be fatal. We also know that, again, if we're going to protect our own workers and citizens in our country, that it is a global effort that's needed. Oops, sorry. So when we did have the first patient who presented in the United States, Thomas Duncan, it was truly a wake-up call. And as we all want to believe and should believe that we would never have the type of epidemic and rapid spread of illness as we have seen in West Africa, we also know that as we watch this story unfold, that it did point out a number of issues for us as a nation. And it's clearly not just in hospitals. That was where the laser beam was focused. And it initially was focused on the nurses and the individuals who provided care to Thomas Duncan. It focused on some of the systems issues at Texas Presbyterian, which we know is a very good hospital. But as we also began to see this story unfold in the media, we also have recognized, and I'm sure all of you in this audience can relate to the fact that we are beginning to see some of the Swiss cheese that has resulted in the lack of funding in our public health infrastructure. That as states have reduced some of their funding, as we've seen positions go away, as we've seen a lack of coordinated effort, that we're beginning to see that in this kind of situation that it can have devastating results. So as a result of watching these issues unfold, the American Nurses Association really began to move ahead in terms of educating not only our members, but clearly nurses and healthcare workers around the country. Our message is, again, really focused on believing not only the control of disease in West Africa, but clearly making sure that we had the measures to protect not only patients and families, but our healthcare providers. And this is, again, a partnership in ideology, certainly with the APHA. We also put out a joint statement with the American Academy of Nursing, which is one of our subsidiary organizations, and emphasized again that the immediate response should be accompanied with a long-range commitment to protecting the public's health. And this also includes ensuring an adequate public health infrastructure and providing education about potential disease threats, and that we have a commitment to strengthening public health resources globally. Now, as was also mentioned, knowing what to do and actually how to do it may be very different items. And I think we saw that as well, is that as there was a lot of information that was put forward by groups like the Centers for Disease Control, that even though information was available, that was not the same as being able to have people ready to go into action. It was not the same as having the workforce readily prepared. We did have a pretty robust infrastructure in the supply chain in the U.S., but what was really lacking was true understanding of the steps and the processes that were going to be required to keep everyone safe. Now, the American Nurses Association, as the premier organization representing the interests of the nation's more than 3 million registered nurses, for a long time has been focused on making sure that we have healthy work environments. And that includes a number of things, such as safe patient handling and mobility, needle safety, reducing any bullying and incivility in the work environment, as well as disaster preparedness, which certainly encompasses the Ebola outbreak. But what we also saw, again, with the issues in Texas, was that the spotlight that was shown on hospitals really demonstrated that readiness needs to be an issue, which again spans much more than hospitals and our traditional organizational healthcare system. But it really starts at any of our front doors, whether it's our border, whether it's the first place that a patient will present with any kind of illness in a clinic, in a physician's office, in an emergency department. But we also believe, again, that the healthy work environment is really critical, and that's where the preparedness comes in, and that's where the ability to educate our workers and have the right systems in place. One of the stories that you may not have had a chance to see, but there is a really very touching interview with the nurses that took care of Thomas Duncan that is on 60 Minutes on the website. And what these nurses talked about was their care for him once he came back to the hospital for the second time. And it gave a very good snapshot of what were some of the issues in terms of the equipment, what were some of the issues in terms of following what they believed were the right precautions. What were the issues about isolation? Isolation for Mr. Duncan and his family, isolation from the part of the healthcare worker with just one individual in the room taking care of that person, all of the concerns about how everyone was really treated within the institution. But most importantly, you will hear the heart-rending description of what his last moments in life were like, and that the nurses were really his family and those who provided the comfort and the ability to make sure that he knew he would be able to convey his last messages to his family. It underscores the fact that this is a very human experience beyond all of the media rhetoric, and so it's been really important, again, for us to focus on control and information. One of the things that was most distressing were the original comments that when the two nurses became infected at Texas Presbyterian, it looked like there was finger pointing, that a nurse must have made a mistake in the process. We were very quick to, again, send the message that this is really all about a culture of safety. We don't emphasize that there is any place where we put blame. We learn and we improve our systems. We also believe it's important, following our code of ethics, that if a nurse believes that there is not the right preparation, training, education, that nurse can refuse that assignment. Obviously not putting a patient in harm's way, but making sure that there is immediate action to correct those deficiencies. And we also were vocal in terms of our opposition to a mandatory quarantine for healthcare workers coming back from West Africa. This recent post just at the end of last week, again, I think sums up our message from the standpoint that we have been really focused on trying to eradicate the fear, not only in healthcare workers, but the public. And so we've, again, gotten a lot of traction through a lot of our social media. And unfortunately, I would tell you that we have seen a very mixed response from healthcare workers, similar to the public, that half of them just don't ever want to see Ebola, therefore we should just shut down our borders, have travel bans, quarantine everyone, and they are not following the science. So I think it's really important that we join forces, again, through the American Nurses Association, the APHA, and everyone who recognizes that it's really important to follow the science. We've been very active in providing educational materials. We have a very robust website. Again, you can see information on our Facebook page, and we're constantly putting more and more information out as well. We've had a very aggressive media presence, again, sending the messages that we need to follow the science. We need to follow the CDC guidelines that have been improved. We were very clear in telling the CDC we needed better information. We have had multiple webinars that have been attended by thousands and thousands of nurses, facilitating those again with the CDC. We have also been able to be in touch with the White House on a number of issues. Being able to have partnerships has been equally important, and so together with AMA, AHA, the American Academy of Nursing, the American Organization of Nurse Executives, we have reinforced again why these partnerships are really critical in getting the education and the messages out. Now, many of you know the name of Florence Nightingale, who was really an amazing pioneer in the areas of infection control, as well as the, known as the mother of nursing. And her statement, I think, again, is very clear that we cannot work under the spirit of fear. And so we, again, continue to send the message that we have to stop the fear and follow the science. I also want to just share with you that one of the things that has been gratifying is that nurses across the country have been volunteering for training at the two major facilities at Emory and Nebraska, in addition to NIH. Nurses have signed up as volunteers to get the training to work in these special units. So there really is no lack of enthusiasm for making sure that we are all doing the right thing. We continue to be very focused on making sure that we protect the public's health, and again, this is part of our strategic agenda, and so we continue to look forward to working very closely with all of you, our public health colleagues. Thank you very much.